I'll give you the indication unless someone else, oh, Chris Pine's here.
Yeah.
I didn't see you slip in. You slipped in partly. Would you like to the indication?
Sure.
Thank you.
Dear Lord, we pause once again to thank you for this country that we're blessed to live in. And we again pray for wisdom in dealing with these issues and the blessing you've given us with this airport. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
That's very good.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We do the roll call or we can dispense with it. I think all members are present.
And vote
here.
Put that on the ball.
Here.
No static.
Here. Here.
The minutes we have are from February 23rd. I apologize for not being able to be here last time, evidently. I was not alone. We have the lone eagle over here. We have one guy who attended, so we apologize. That happens. When these things come together.
I had an excuse.
I had an excuse too. We still weren't here. Any additions or deletions or discussions relative to the minutes?
Move to approval.
So moved.
Second.
Here we go. Motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Minutes are approved. Unfinished business, minimum standard workshop.
Yep, workshop scheduled for May 8th, 11:30, downtown in City Hall. Jeff Coleman, principal of Aviation Management Consulting Group, he's confirmed will be there to do the joint presentation to the airport board and city council about the new standards. What they are, what we should be handling, how we can tell them here. And questions. We don't have that much more to add on the top.
Okay. We're going to talk about it.
Let's go.
Who did you say was coming?
I'm sorry?
Who's coming?
Jeff Coleman.
Okay, Jim Osborne. That's good, I think. I think did we talk about that last time when I was here? No, that was since last time.
Yes.
I made contact with Jeff Coleman through... His name came up two places. Dick Lewis gave it to me, and then someone else I gave it to him. And I just called him out of the blue and found out that they were basically, you know, they're consultants who work with airports like us. They also work with FBOs. They do work for Landmark. And he told us that right up front. They do work for most of the FBOs in the country, the larger ones, most cities, people like us. And they're more of a business consultant. They don't do anything that has anything to do with concrete, planning, ILSs, any of that kind of stuff. They look at the business side of airports and that's basically what they do. And, when we talked about it, Brad and I and Matt and had a group that's up in the city, and it seemed to make the relative sense that some of the things that we look at not in a vacuum, but somewhat in a vacuum in terms of what the whole country looks like and how people are doing things across the country, not just in the part of Florida. So it would be, we have consultants of other kinds, it appeared to me this might be a good consultant. I left a recommendation in the contact information, made the original call, and that's all I want to do with it. So I'm glad that we...
Yeah, you know, they're based out of Denver. I'm making calls to some of my peers out there. They've all done work with this company. Jeff, in particular, being highly recommended, they all warn that they're expensive and caution that make sure that the product you get is tailored to your specific airport, not a rubber stamp, obviously. So, they definitely know their stuff. They're confirmed. So.
Well, then we went round and round on all this development up the north end here on the consulting. Commercial development. And we took it so far trying to figure out what the thing was worth to try to get to a point where people could agree that we didn't do anything.
We lost a few deals because of it. We lost a few.
Oh, yeah, there was people wanted to do things and we couldn't, nobody can come to a consensus. Council thought it was worth something, everything the city management did, the airport management, and the airport board, the developers that were here, and it was, nobody could agree. I don't know if somebody like this could help us, but at least they come from other airports who develop commercial property, so having them might have been helpful for us, you know. So we'll see what we get. Do we have any cheap consultants? Does the government hire any cheap consultants? I'm afraid they're probably like the others.
You might need a planning meeting in Vegas to talk about.
That's what I was thinking.
Are you gonna report on Tulip?
Is extraordinary not?
Are you gonna report on Tulip?
No, I don't know. Okay. We'll look forward to it. I hope everyone can calendar to be.
It's important to be there.
There's so many important meetings. 11:30, I guess it's been 90 o'clock.
It's council chambers.
Yeah.
All right.
New visit?
Yeah, the budget, I was hoping to present some additional numbers, just three lines. We've been in budget mode for a couple months now and had meetings with the finance department, the city manager's office, going back and forth. In the 7 years that I've been here, this is probably one of the most difficult budget seasons that I've had to deal with, specifically with the airport, between making sure finance doesn't see the airport as a cash cow and allocates all sorts of fees and everything from the airport to meeting the city's goals of providing three budgets, a baseline budget, a 3% cut, and a 10% cut in expenses. We've done that, three percent cuts. We're looking at becoming more efficient in some of our janitorial contracts, our facility maintenance allocation. If you recall, we had two vacancies. We actually hired two gentlemen from facilities maintenance. So they have facilities background. They can do a lot of the work that we otherwise would have gone to a different department. Would have gotten billed their labor and expenses. So we're going to see some savings there. We were urged to look at some personnel cuts as well. It is a 10% cut. Hopefully it doesn't come to that, but I think we're going to bring this to your attention. The city wanted to look at reducing its staff. They have big increases in the pension funds and allocations going up several million dollars per year. So the city offices are looking at ways to convert full-time to part-time, not pay them. Look at that. What makes it difficult for the airport is that we are running in the black. It's a general aviation facility, we're in the black. We are anywhere between $50,000 and $100,000 in the black every year. And that all depends on grant matches and projects and things like that. We have a fund balance of about $750,000 that we just use for reserves. Not a lot of money when you look at the size of the facility, but nonetheless, it's a lot more money than most other general aviation airports. And we're very fortunate. Part of the reason that we've got surplus, we've got the industrial park, we've got some leases over there, our hangar rents, our T-hangar rents represent almost 30 to 40% of our annual revenues, just from the T-hangar alone. So we're really fortunate from that respect. So when you're showing cash surplus, but you're still having to propose these cuts, it's been difficult. We're still muddling through the process. We've tweaked it a little bit more, provided that information to finance. For some reason, the program that we have And our authorization is not allowed to bring up the proposed budget as it stands today. We were able to do it a month ago, we can't do it today. It's these little quirks that we're trying to work out and finance and things that gets really difficult. I hope to bring back a little bit more information next meeting. If I can tell you, even in the baseline budget, we've had about $30,000 increase just in our contribution to our full-time employees' pension funds. $30,000 over last year. And we still have the same basic people. Everything else, we've held the line. We're extremely efficient, we have a small staff, we get things done. And I'm really proud to say that. There's not much more to say beyond these three items right here.
Let me ask you a question, this is just educational from another half, because at one time it was different, we were running in the red, but we were running in the red because of allocations that have been placed from the city side, you know, the airport side of the ledger. So, you know, those and the reshuffling of things a number of years ago were essentially done away with, is that correct? They were reallocated elsewhere and just eliminated.
The allocations were never removed, we still have allocations. There's a risk insurance contingent, there's still a facilities maintenance contingent. We used to pay the fleet quite a bit, that's been amended and reduced. All of our vehicles aren't owned by the airport, they're owned by the city. So that's somewhat funded through the general fund. That was a change. The facility allocation at one time represented the largest chunk of change going out, just because it was a blanket formula, and that's what they used for all the other city departments. We had a fight, if you recall, the T-hangers are empty shells. We actually reduced it down to 10% of the formula that other non-revenue producing entities would be paying. So, we reduced it even further. What was almost $200,000 annually facility allocations is now closer to, well, this current year is budgeted $86,000, but we probably won't use more than $40,000. We're starting to get the work orders. People come out, they work on the air conditioning units. We're starting to see those billable hours and the cost of parts and stuff. So there's more accountability coming over, and there's more oversight. Keep track of that. For instance, on the insurance side, the next big fight that I have with downtown would be figuring out which buildings we're going to insure, which ones we are not. Right now, the city of Ocala is insuring all of the landmark aviation hangars and facilities, as well as the airport rescue firefighting facility, the old ARC facility, currently being leased by SSI. I'm paying for protecting that property where the tenant is actually clearly identified with these records. They need to carry that property insurance. It's a duplication of records, but our insurance people are saying, well, at the end of the lease, the improvements revert back to the city, that's why we need to keep them on the rolls. They don't realize that 3/4 of the other buildings on the airport revert back to the city as well, if you look at those leases, individual corporate hangars, you name it. So there needs to be some consistency, and whether we insure all those buildings and recoup our costs through billing our tenants, or we don't do that at all, and we insure the tenants.
That's the way to do it.
That's the way to do it?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what we need to look into.
Because, you know, tenants don't have an insurable interest in some of that.
No, they probably do it that long term.
But it's better to do it that way. Allocate an amount.
It's going to involve lease amendments, 18 different corporate leases. Some were drafted within the past year, and others were drafted 25 years ago. So the language is...
The city has their own risk and pool that they work out outside.
Yes.
A bunch of self-insured anyway. So, you know, we could even self-insure some of the stuff we got here.
Those are some of the issues that we're fighting.
The likelihood of some of the buildings burning down. Airplanes and the TNs could burn up, but there's not much else there to burn up. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. The thing to me, though, is the revenue diversion thing. We take revenue in from the airside portion of our operation. That essentially, by law, needs to stay in the airport.
And it does.
Yeah.
And it does.
And but it provides sufficient revenue to run the airport with the staff we got and everything else from what I hear you say. So if none of it goes to the general fund, so if we go over with half the staff or go over with half the other expenses, the city not going to benefit from it anyway. But I assume they understand that. So from the push to regulate the airport, they ought to be looking at the airport as a self-sustaining entity and make sure it can continue to be a self-sustaining entity. To me.
Sometimes they do and sometimes they don't. That's the problem.
Well, sometimes they try to figure out a way to get it from revenue.
So, and that's part of the problem in our current budget. You get these guidelines that are formulated for all city parks.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter. Yeah. Whether it makes sense to the airport or not.
But the airport is unique. So I understand the problem. I understand that, I think. And perhaps part of what we can do out of the consultant that we're talking to in the workshop we're having is maybe help address it.
Awesome.
I mean, if that comes up, at least, or if we have a consultant like these folks, maybe on an ongoing basis, we need to look at things like that. They would be able to help you answer the question in terms that the city could understand that. But I know it's been a problem all along. It's been looked at, the revenue diversion thing. We've never had any problem with it other than the fire suits we gave away. And that was a huge problem. I remember, but one of the former airport managers sued the city for revenue diversion. We gave away the fire suits from the art facility, which were out of date. The FAA called us to destroy them, so rather than destroy them, I guess we gave them to some South American country.
Something like that. A lot of that old facility.
And they were willing to take them, even though they knew they were technically out of date.
They were better
than nothing.
That issue was a lot bigger than just the fire suits, though. There was between the parks and the rec, not paying their fair share, and things like that. We're still battling that sort of group. And working with the FAA.
But anyway, okay.
All right.
Grants,
yeah. About a month and a half ago, the city council granted a request from American Fresh Farms. Those are the folks that are going to do the greenhouse at the airport. Granted a request to push their agreement back until about September of this year, before they had to make a commitment. If you recall, our terminal grant was based over 3 years, and the matching funds were going to come from the land release, or the land sale of that property the city was going to pay here. Well, if American Fresh Farms doesn't have it, they're not going to buy the property. The city's not going to buy the property. And what that did to our grants, I had a deadline of basically the middle of June to get grants on the first installment of the terminal grant. Back to that dot so that they could have it executed before the end of their fiscal year, which is in June. Because American Fresh Farm deal got pushed back to September, I didn't have the matched funds to match that first installment of the grant. It's $260,000, matched 50-50. What I did, I had a meeting with FDOT, and I said, I want to push the terminal project back a year to match, basically, to work with the land release guidelines. And they were agreeable to that. But I also didn't want to give up the $260,000 that was allocated in this year's work program. They were agreeable to that. What we were able to do, we had a number of different line item grant amounts that were available in our current fiscal year, current FDOT fiscal year. We grouped that together and we come up with a good project, a needed project. we're going to build an overlay across the parkway. When you look at it, well, it's 15 years old. It's coming up on the end of its useful life. It was reconstructed 15 years ago through a city resurfacing program. I can't even tell you what specification asphalt needs back. What I can tell you is that transverse cracks, which are the in between the paving lanes, longitudinal cracks, are starting to separate, and we're having transverse cracks every 50 to 100 feet on the shoulders. Some of them are as wide as 3 fingers, go all the way down to the base. And initially, we were thinking, well, we'll just put some crack fill material in there, and we'll get it. So we'll extend the life another 5 years. It's not going to make it that long when you put the crack fill material. It's going to pull apart that much junk and tar that was going to get on there. We don't want to do that anymore. So working with our consultant, came up with 3 ideas. We can crack fill it. We can mill and replace just where the cracks are, or we can do a complete reconstruct, mill it, rework the material back into the base, and repave it. And we got estimates for all of those items, went to FDOT, presented them with this whole scenario. They liked the idea, it ranks high in the priority, they've got money, coming up with the whole money. It goes from a 50-50 match to an 80-20 match, which I can afford. Basically, so we're going to do the runway 826 reconstruction. We've got some additional money for terminal parking lot improvements. That's where the rental cars are at. We'll be able to improve some drainage structure out there and take the drainage from that new parking lot that we construct, take it to the swale between the apron and the taxiway. So any future development along 60th Avenue, instead of building these little pockets of ponds, we'll be able to convey it to the main pond on the south end of the airport. We'll do that. We could probably do a car wash bay for the rental cars there as well, and improve the general area. And then the state has money for an expansion of this hangar building to house the airport rescue and firefighting truck. Right now, to keep it off airport. So whenever they have to use it, they have to basically drive it out here and stage it in position. The state is agreeable to basically putting an addition onto this building, and we would keep that fire truck here. So we'll have a crew rest area. And whether or not we actually have a firefighter manned here, that's another foul. But if we can get the truck here first, it's the first of your steps.
Well, when they built the community college branch, fire station, whatever. I know they tried, Dick Lewis was the responsible for that. He tried really, really hard, as I remember, to get it located on 60th Avenue on airport property, for obvious reasons. It would have been, in his view, a more desirable location and a better location than where it is now, and I think he's right. He's looking at where the drones. It would make a lot more sense to have it on 60th Avenue than where it is, and it would have provided the base of operations to have a front door, back door kind of facility for the airport.
Here's what we're looking at. This is what the work program is going to look like through the state. This has nothing to do with FAA rules. It's just state dollars here. Here's a runway 826 project. It's a $375,000 grant, $75,000 match, $150,000 project. That's going to go to council mid-May. We'll get it back to the state by June 1st. So that's great news. Great news on that one.
Do we feel confident that number will come in with the contractors when we take it to bid?
Yep.
I know about what asphalt's doing.
Asphalt's through the roof. That is based on local contractors providing estimates. Our engineer working on, and there's a 20% contingency. Here's the terminal parking lot. We're looking at about $160,000 grant, and that's just $32,000 project up there. Here you can see our terminal pushed back a year. That $260,000 was right here. we just flip-flopped it, it's right here. The state took the money from this generic aviation safety line item. See, we have a great relationship with our state. They know I'm going to be asking for money. They know Oakhausen has good projects that they've been able to fund in the past, so we're going to come up with the match in the future as well. Jim Wicks from PEPTA put $800,000 or so in each of these 2 years, 14 and 15 and 15 and 16, knowing that they use it. Didn't know exactly what, but they put it in there. It's in the program. So what we did, we took the money from here and we put it on the backside of the terminal. If the terminal comes in a little bit more, we need more money, we can always come and re-tap it back. Gives us a little bit more flexibility. The good news is, it really doesn't impact the timing of everything, because the new fiscal year for FDA is July 1st. So July 1st of this year, we can get $1 million grant. So we're really not losing that much time. We're moving forward with everything. We're going to do a fog seal of our main runway. That'll be 5 years subsequent to its reconstruction. We want to make sure that we keep up maintenance on that one. That's what this line item is. The state's got money in there for a fuel farm in 2013-14. Maybe we can partner either with Landmark or someone else. Or maybe we do it ourselves. But we've got some money in there to do some improvements to the fuel farm. And again, I mentioned this generic aviation safety line item. And then here's the ARPA improvements to this building. Put the additional pay on. Real happy with the way that the state's come through on this one. We're going to get a good product across the runway. Construction will start. And we haven't put it out to bid. It'll end up starting around late summer, early fall.
Any questions?
About the questions on the 826 improvements. The FAA was the one who wrote the runway off and refused to spend any more money on it. But the state did.
It's not going to widen it, is it?
Not at this time.
It won't level the hill or anything? Just.
No. But you know, we're here enough to go master plan.
You know, it slows you down a little bit.
We're here enough to do a master plan study. It'll be a ground-up study. I've worked with the individual before. I've worked with the school with the individual that's going to do the project. He's with RSNH. He's out in Denver. I'm prohibiting him from looking at the previous master plans. I want him to take a fresh look at the airport. And he's going to come up with a master plan. He's going to come up with goals, objectives. We'll meet with the council, the airport board, city staff, tenants. One of the things I wanted to look at is across the runway. One of the reasons we shifted the threshold of 1836 is because the safety area of that runway was impacting the safety area along the crosswind. If we flip the taxiway and the crosswind with the runway, across the runway, we may be able to put the threshold back on runway 18. But those are some of the things I want to look at. So if we basically flip-flop the two. So we can change the alignment, and maybe we can add some additional pavement on both ends, take off pavement, displace that threshold, if we can get a little bit longer there. A lot of things we can look at with that, leveling out the hill.
Has the tower showed more usage of 826?
Well, somebody actually gets to operations.
Okay. That was one of the things we were going to look at.
They're keeping track of it. I've got the data.
As I came in the door, somebody was using it.
Well, I think, as you say, the 826, if your man overviews the whole thing, they will go for a complete reconstruction. Now, we can't go east with it. We can't go up 8, but we can go 26. You got to buy some houses, and you got to buy a little real estate on the other end.
Well, we've got a road over there now.
That is not a problem.
We'll just go over it, right?
We'll look at all those options.
That is not a problem. Roads can change.
I think it's adequate, it's just a little narrow, that's all, and a little undulating, but I think it's adequate length for...
I wanted to show you this chart, the top four columns here, or rows, represents our cash balance and our grant match obligations, assuming modest increases in our revenues and a relatively flat expenses. As you can see, our current year, we have about $854,000 in our fund balance. And as you match these grants along the years, it slowly reduces, about 6 years out to $431,000. So we are spending some money, but these are all good projects. And like I said, the revenue projections were fairly conservative. If there's no more questions. Construction update, our security project. Our consultant, our contractor, is replacing all of the wireless transmitters. If you recall, not the last meeting, before that, we had some issues with communication between wireless transmitters and the receiver at 7 o'clock every night. Things would go haywire when you use a signal and the system removed. Nobody wants to run wires after. So our contractor's replacing all of the microwave antennas and receivers in a different band. Same microwave technology, just a different band, but maybe that'll fix some communication. Maybe about halfway done. So our goal is to get it done and swapped out before the open house event next weekend. We want the cameras working while those airplanes begin to work. And then Southwest 67th Avenue was open. If you haven't driven it, I encourage you to do so. It's a good ride.
That was the dedication.
It could have been more perfect. It was great. The weather was cooperating. It was cool. Had plenty of VIP pomp circumstance, speeches, that kind of stuff. Had a time capsule. We contributed the history of the airport, laminated the airport layout plan with the master plan, some other road documents. The key to the city was in there. I put video and pictures from the years on the airport on a little SD card.
That would be ancient.
Well, that's
what it is. You need to put whatever could read it.
But there's a time capsule in there.
That'll be like an 8-track tape.
Jerry will be here going through that.
So we're really happy about the road. And again, go dry. It offers a completely different perspective of the airport. One you probably haven't seen in a long time. So.
It meant a good drive script to
get a land on it.
No, it's just straight down the curve.
Going to have a
horrible emergency runway also.
Yeah. Let me, the microwave technology and all that you were talking about, that has to do with the gate openings and
the card readers,
cameras and everything?
The gates and the cameras, yes.
How many cameras do we have? Another one out here.
Six, five, four of them on board.
Does that cover the runway as well?
There's one all the way down to South End, there's one about halfway up the opposite of the tower.
So he can critique Randy's landings in his cup. Let me ask you this. I looked at the gate kind of closely that's up there, the main gate that we have, the corridor tents. Is that working better now so that people can actually... You can give them a code so they can get back in or get back out or something like that.
We give it out and change it. Call away and change it.
So people that come and go after hours, can anybody get out? Or do you have to have a code?
They have to have code, yeah.
We actually also make signs up. And we're posting a little walking gates. If someone after hours comes in and gets stuff, they can call us. And any laptop can actually open the gate.
Wayne can use his cell phone from his house to open up.
Well, Gainesville used to have one, even when they had the higher security level, when you could taxi up the terminal before town. And theirs was easy to get out of. There was a button back pretty far. You could push the button and it gave you a 2 or 3 seconds or something opening of the gate and you could get out without any difficulty. Getting back in was the concerning part. So to get back in, you had to go to the police department, which you'd have the terminal, and they'd give you the code, whichever did that. It would seem to me, wouldn't it be more prudent and easier for coming, for people to come in the middle of the night, have a way they could actually get out without having to go through all that work, and still be able to maintain a degree of security? And they just push the button and they have a time delay, and you know, once they're out, they're not going to be able to get back in without a number. It seemed to me would be an easier system than having to call you in the middle of the night to get out.
Wayne, what's your cell phone number?
I'm serious.
Okay, 572-04.
I know at least one, I forget who it was. Ripped their pants pretty bad climbing over the barbed wire fence. One of our local citizens.
I won't abuse them.
3 o'clock in the morning or something, they came back.
Just a
I think from a user standpoint, it would be nice to look at that and make it more user friendly.
Well, I'll tell you, I know Wayne and everybody are liking it because they don't have to program it to digital tape when there's a change.
Okay.
So when the system works, hopefully there's no interference at 7 o'clock.
Can I interject? We are planning to have a overnight guard on our aircraft down there because even though the place is guarded, we want to have somebody there, and I believe we're supposed to talk to Wayne or yourself. Probably will have a vest, and you'll maybe need to give him a pass, but we want to keep them there because the warbirds don't have locks on. And it's like the T-6s, you just get up and slide the hatch back, and they're in there grabbing radios. So.
Yeah, we got to schedule there from Wednesday morning to get the badges.
Okay, good. Thank you. It's just one of the features that we appreciate you guys backing us on, knowing that there's a problem.
All right. Operations. We had a pretty good month in March. Total ops, 5,251. And as we've seen a little bit, that is representative of the fuel sales as well. Here's your crossing runway operations, 220 in March. It's averaging between 150 to 250 a month.
About 10%. Almost about 10% of the average.
But it's not necessarily the use of the FAA to look at. It'll be the wind. Historical wind direction, and that'll also be a component of the master plan. We'll make sure that the trees are cut back far enough when we do the wind study for a few months.
It's all okay. Well,
that last wind study, they kept the wind machine in a hangar.
It's like the whole global warming thing. They put a light bulb near the thermometer for freezing.
We have an AWOS. The newer, is there a newer? Is that the original one we had?
The original location, they've updated it occasionally as newer technologies come about.
Is there a better place on the field for it to be located?
Oh, absolutely. I think we could stay at midfield. Near the VOR is, and I think you get a much better reading at that location. Coming up with the money. Justification and having to keep with these other projects. It would be about $110,000.
Well, if we ever got a chance to get a newer upgraded ASOS or whatever kind of weather system, I know that Bert was talking about something from the tower standpoint for weather observation. If we ever able to do that, could be at that time maybe relocate?
Yeah, if we're going to get a new system, I'd love to relocate it. I don't know. Eventually, it's going to have to move in. Developments to occur in that area. Mm-hmm. Here are your fuel sales, start fuel deliveries to the fuel farmer. Year to date, we're 7.2% over where we were last year this time. Not bad, considering we've been on the decline for a few years.
Is there anything in March that explains that, Amy?
Yeah, the go-kart racing.
I mean, did that really?
Oh, I'm serious. It was unbelievable what the go-kart is. I mean, in addition to it's also, that go-kart has just gotten huge.
Up there on 27.
And big eye, I mean, like, you know, not just the lower.
Is there something going on this weekend? Is there a horse sale or something?
There's a show in Williston, I understand.
The sales are right now across the street.
Yeah, right now they're on sale, but there's kind of a whole show in Williston this weekend.
Go-kart.
We are also.
Is that an annual event or annual?
We are also considering the 18th for Young Eagles again.
Eighteenth of May? Is that right? May to?
I think, well, whatever the weekend is, that weekend.
What to do with this time?
Well, if it's the 18th and the 12th, both days are.
Nineteenth is a Saturday.
What do you have?
Nineteenth.
Nineteenth?
May 19th.
Young Eagles.
That's available.
Yeah. We backed up a little bit, so we've got a lot of students that want to go for a ride.
Yeah, on a national basis, I mean, our business operates on a national basis, really, on a local basis. We had the best first quarter we've ever had. So I don't know if that's indicative of where it's going on here. But we've done a lot of things to help make that happen, but, you know, business seems to be, the retail business, Walmart's buying more, the dollar stores are buying a lot more. Just come.
And they're popping up everywhere.
Yeah.
Competing with Walmart.
Yeah, yeah.
They're cheaper than Walmart.
Easier to get into, too.
Walmart was reinventing themselves into a Target, Dollar General, a lot of the business.
I just wanted to mention the EA activity, the wings over Ocala, the trial they were coming in and staffed with car show. Can I bring my BMW?
What?
Can I bring my BMW? The car show?
Is it class?
No, not necessarily. We have two sponsors. Phillips Chrysler and the Ford people. We've had a little problem getting a check from the Ford people. I shouldn't say that officially, but it's official.
Off the record.
We sent two of our guys over, Nunzio and Carmine.
They came back with a check. Parts every time.
But the primary sponsor at this time is Phillips. And so they're going to get the primary spot, the location, and where we can locate their cars and get the best visibility for them. They'll have their people buy the car. A salesperson, I'm sure, of some kind or two.
Isn't there a car show, too?
Pardon?
Not just the dealerships, but I mean, isn't there a car show?
It'll be, we are also having a full car show.
That's what I mean. Can I bring my BMW to the full car show?
Sure.
Well,
you can do anything you want.
They may.
So is Jared.
So you definitely, you have a prime spot.
Speaking of antiques, Jared.
That's all. I'll bring my old Buick over.
All right.
How much?
The lease. My what?
The lease going up.
Oh, yeah.
That's the kind of city cut.
Oh, yeah.
With Beautiful Moments?
Yes.
The warehouse?
Yeah.
The Beautiful Moments, the rental company, they're waiting for the warehouse construction to be complete. And we're waiting for the contractor to move in there to start construction on the sprinkler system. We're still thinking probably early to mid-June that they'll be able to move in there.
They're still communicating with you anyway.
Every 2 days.
Good.
They want to, they're so bad.
Let me ask, this is a hypothetical question, I guess, if it could not maybe make sense, but from time to time, bits and parcels of that property come available down there. I mean, it's on the open market, the city could buy it. Is there any kind of program or any kind of approach from the city standpoint to ever look at buying any of that property?
We have.
But if you bought it now, you buy it at a real bargain compared to when you can live it.
Absolutely. We've Did the tanks went last year? The last year? The, just north of the warehouse was sewage plant, not a plant, it was a...
Transfer station.
Treatment, yeah, to the treatment plant. They had a bunch of sewage tanks in there. Those were wanting to get out of it.
What are the best things?
I couldn't afford the $500,000 for the project, about 3 acres is what it came out to. And, but the city ended up buying it. So it's in the city's possession, so, and we've got that property there. Some of the warehouses on the extreme south end, if we ever do a runway extension, we'll need to acquire that property. And it would be best to wait until that time to justify getting the FAA to...
But neither the FAA or the state has a, I mean, if you've got a master plan in there, you're gonna need it eventually when it becomes available on a commercial market. You know it's gonna be half of what it's gonna cost to condemn it. Are there any kind of programs that are available where they would say, hey, we'll buy the postage stamps one at a time, and then when we do the whole thing, we'll buy what's left.
Well, as I said, the FAA does, but they're gonna want to see justification. Just because the time is right to buy it isn't necessarily justification.
Okay.
I can't justify the runway extension now. I could maybe 5 years ago. I can't justify it now. The FAA would provide that. As far as other programs, maybe through the state.
Well, we seem to have adequate runway to do most of what we really need to do.
Yeah,
and in the future, don't forget the stuff is coming out smaller again. Because they realize that that super big stuff is all sitting out in Arizona parked, too expensive to operate.
You know, and one of, I said it before, I'll say it again, our limiting factor is not our runway, it's our taxiway connector network. Mm-hmm. We have 767s flying horses out of here right now. They just can't get off the runway. They need 75-foot wide taxiways, ours are 50. So we can focus on Taxiway Charlie on the west side, construct that to 75 foot wide, we'll be able to move some of that, those other airplanes and heavy iron 767 and that kind of stuff. Once that starts happening, runway extensions, depending on their mission criteria, it can be justified.
Well, most of them, 767 can operate pretty well on what we got.
For sure. Really tough. So making those turns, they can land and take off on our
that's what I mean.
Problem. You know. But it's getting to and from it. That it's really, we had our engineers look at it, and from the outside of the main wheels of the 767 to the pavement edge, it's 4 feet.
The 757. The 757 is not that much smaller, is it?
It was small enough to where it had no problem.
Yeah. Yeah, no problem exiting on the middle taxiway, not even at the end where we had
the rest. Yeah, they did, yeah. So the 757 did okay. 767.
Did we fix that with the tower, so if any more of them come, the tower directs them to go all the way to the end of the line? Because that Delta jet that came in, the 757, with Tennessee or whoever, he landed so short that he made the first turn.
Yeah.
It was like everybody cringed because he's not really enough room. Was Alabama. That would have been good. They could have got stuck maybe far out of the lane. Where's the team? They're stuck on the airplane.
That's all I have, sir. Thank you.
Okay, well, there's nothing else. Is there any comments by individual board members?
Yes. Again, I'd just like to promote the program. It's next weekend. The airplane will arrive here on Thursday at noon. And then we're going to ride the public and I mean the PR people and the newspaper people and the radio people will get free rides for hopes for the publicity. And that'll be Tuesday or correction Thursday afternoon. Friday we go into the full program of rides. We'll start bringing the warbirds in Friday morning. And then the car show is two sections. We didn't realize these guys were that organized, but they really are. You have a car what do they call it, a drive-in, and then you have a show. When you use the word show, that means that the cars are going to be graded, and the guy gets a plaque or something else. So that's Saturday. Friday, they will just have a place where they can park their cars for display.
Is that going to be on the air side or on the outside?
Well, we're looking at it. We're trying to put them on the outside or the inside, along what would be the north rope that they're going to have sectioning off the aircraft, because that whole section out there is going to be roped off. Not everybody out there is going to be wearing a badge, because that's the way we're going to walk the people out. And the airplane, the tri-motor will be circling off the runway and staying to the far west of the ramp as we can. And then we have the guides and the people that will watch and lead the people out, feed them back, and what have you. It's a I told you, the guy that said, you guys wanted this thing now. It's a lot of details.
Lights are happening.
I hope they're happy.
Mr. Chair.
And thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I got one thing I forgot. The community of Four Ranch, which is kind of off into the lower end of the runway, started a soccer program several months ago, and Landmark Aviation agreed to sponsor one of our teams, and I just want to thank her. We were joking earlier that her team is absolutely the most consistent team out there. So, but we're trying hard, and we thank you.
I'd like to add something for the record. Number one, Matt, Wayne, and your group have done a wonderful job for us. I couldn't ask for better cooperation, and the whole team felt the same way. And Christine, your organization, same thing. You couldn't have been more helpful. She's given us discounts on the fuel. It's going to make it all very possible for us to have this thing come off okay.
You're going to use the 200 gallons for the four charter.
Pardon?
You're going to use the 200 gallons for the
trimotor? At this point, yeah.
That's free, that's not
just.
Yeah. But,
I don't know if you would use
the sound. We make up our armor on for the young eagles.
In the scheme of things, that's about 30 minutes.
Anybody else that wants to say anything?
I can't see anybody putting anything out.
Hey, Matt,
did
some of you know about this event?
Go ahead.
I just want to make sure our public information office does.
Oh, yeah. And we did talk not only to the police, but to the sheriff's department. Discussed this at length with them. So
I don't know what we're going
to do. Well, don't forget they've got a facility on there.
I understand.
How's it going, Paul?
The police department, the city, the sheriff.
Anything?
No, we're just. Difference. We got a little work, but it's. We're holding on to our.
Fingernails.
This is Joe.
What you here for?
I'm sorry. Hi, how are you?
Good.
I'm Justin Edwards. I'm one of these expensive consulting.
Oh, yeah. which one?
Boyle Tanner & Associates. I just started out of their Oviedo office, and I'm sorry for my talking, but apparently I'm not used to country air. I just came down from New Jersey. But I got to tell you, I am really impressed with what you folks have all done. I love to see the camaraderie. I've been managing airports myself for 25 years, so I'm amazed with what Matt and Ford and all the guys and gals here have done together. It's really impressive. I mean that in all sincerity. And to have a surplus is unheard of. And a facility that's so I agree with me.
Well, don't say too much, because then he's going to ask for a raise. So.
Now, what type of consulting do you do?
Airport engineering, planning, the stuff you call it. I mean, business planning, and all sorts of other stuff. And I'm just trying to get out there and see what's going on with some of these facilities. And I just took a ride up and down the road, and the facilities just look really good. I mean, it's always room for improvement, but I can't tell you how lucky the folks are and how great you all work together. I can tell. You can see it. I see it very well.
Justin used to manage the Trenton Mercer County Airport in New Jersey.
Where?
Trenton Mercer County, TTN.
Oh, yeah. I lived in New Jersey for 8 years.
Did you? Morristown, I didn't know.
And I lived in Morristown.
No, you did.
Morristown. Morristown. That was at the north end.
I've been a Florida resident now for 8 days. I love this.
I was a cat. I've gone around with some of the cats.
Morristown, we lived there 8 years. I would take old 80 into New York.
Really?
Hated it. To me, there's that song where the guy says, I want to see Dallas in the rearview mirror or something like that, or well, Waco or the, well, that's the way I look. The only time I put a smile on is when I look in the rearview mirror and I'm out of the tunnel, heading out. That's a sewer by my standards. I can't, bad PR.
All right.
Move adjourned.
Okay.
So Grant, we're looking at, you mentioned drainage, is there a possibility to take a little bit of the drainage problem on?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it does it right now, we got a surplus of teenagers, but it won't always be that way. If there was ever an opportunity to take the drainage that we have alongside 60th Avenue in front of the teenagers, divert that water, that would, a lot more teenagers could do. Brad, I'm.
I agree. What's our vacancy now? 10? Teenagers?
Nine.
So, our vacancies, they were running 20, 25 a couple years ago, now we're down to 9.
Did you have a motion for adjournment, is there something?
We already have.
Second.
I was in New York, looking at a piece of equipment, Clinton. And we used to have a factory in China. We bought a candle factory when I was at General Mills, which was my pioneer signature brand. Is that right?
Yeah.
So I ended up, in order to get there, telling the fair for a week, we're on Google. I went earlier today, so I ended up in North New Jersey. I have to include the Kennedy.
Nice job.
And drove from Kennedy down to the afternoon to come across the other side to go to Chatham. I just want to see what this place is.